Hi, we're glad you can be with us today as we continue our study of Jesus Christ's very startling words telling those who believe in him that they have entered into eternal life. Not that they will enter into eternal life at some future time, but because they believe they have entered into eternal life. I'm well aware of the many objections people have to such a statement, but they're not my words. They're the plain, clear, direct words of Jesus Christ himself, and he repeats them over and over, as we'll see today. Now, that sounds incredible to mankind's jaded hearing, I know, but entering into eternal life has always been a question of whether or not we believe God. The first man God created, Adam, had the same choice of believing God's words to him or to believe in himself and his own ideas. Adam chose not to trust in God and his word, and we all have inherited that same nature of unbelief. God tells us this awesome truth in his word, though, that we children of Adam and citizens of this earth, born into sin and death, can, at the same time, literally become children of God and citizens of heaven. We're going to look at God's exact word about this matter today, and the question before us is the same as it was before Adam. Will we believe in God and in his words, or will we choose to trust in our own means and ideas? The two options before us offer life or death, but there's no way out of choosing. So what we're going to look at is what God offers us concerning eternal life that begins in this earthly life and continues then for eternity. I'm Leon Steele, and this program is titled Living in Christ because it is directed to those who either have or will enter into the eternal life of God through Jesus Christ in the only way it can be entered, which is by birth. And we'll see that in today's program. First, though, if you would like a free CD or cassette tape copy of today's study or others, you can call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write us at Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And again, that phone number is 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas. Zip code is 72019. And you also can contact us through our internet website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. We enjoy your questions and comments, and in case you missed it, I'll repeat this contact information at the end of today's program. In program number 38, we looked at how a person comes to enter into the eternal life of God and when, where, and how that takes place. And I want to quickly review that as the foundation of how a person then lives eternally. That information summed up in Jesus' own words found in the book of John. And I'm only going to quote a few of the many times Jesus repeats his truth of the only way he has given us to enter into eternal life in God's kingdom as his children. And I'll begin in John chapter 3 and verse 15, where Jesus is instructing his disciples about this matter of entering into eternal life. And he tells them this, verse 15 of John chapter 3. He says, "So that whoever believes will in him have eternal life." And how short and to the point that is, that the person who believes in him will have eternal life. Then in verse 16, Jesus continues with that often quoted, but perhaps little believed verse that says, this is John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Just consider the magnitude of what Jesus says here, that God so loved the world, meaning mankind, which is his creation, that he gave his one and only humanly born Son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have eternal life. The reason for saying that verse is little believed is that most Christian teaching has added something to what Jesus said there, such as having to do certain things, to join a particular group, or to hold to certain doctrines, and so on. Jesus who himself is God, as we'll see, makes no such demands, though, saying only that a person must believe in him to enter into eternal life. And Jesus repeats those words again in John chapter 3 and verse 36. And here he says, John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." The first thing Jesus says in verse 36 is what was positively said in verse 16, that whoever believes in him has eternal life. It's plain to see that Jesus is intent on telling everyone that will listen of the only way to have eternal life, which is believing in him. Then in the second part of verse 36, Jesus speaks from the negative side, saying that anyone that's unwilling to obey his words is not, in fact, a believer. And he tells them that he who does not obey the Son will not see life. Believing in Jesus, then, means to believe not only in his person, but to believe and obey his words as well. Then, in John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus tells even more of what it means to believe. And here he states, this is John chapter 5 and verse 24. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." What a wonderfully simple and yet detailed presentation this is of God's gospel of eternal life. First of all, Jesus says, a person must hear his word. And we have that word before us today in the scriptures that we're just reading. We have that word just as much as those listening to him there had it. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so his word is unchanged also. It means the same to us today as it meant to Jesus' disciples there with him, and who went out and preached those same words to all that would listen. And clearly, there's no other word than his that can bring salvation to a sinful people destined for death. The truth, Jesus says, is that a person must hear his word and believe God the Father who sent Jesus to save lost and dying mankind. I don't know how Jesus could have emphasized any stronger the way to enter into eternal life. Notice that Jesus says nothing at all in any of these verses about our having to perform any actions. Rather, he says only that a person must believe the word he spoke and believe God who sent him to save all who would believe in him. The person who hears Jesus' word and believes God who sent him to the earth to save all who would believe in him, Jesus says, has eternal life. If we believe what Jesus says, eternal life is an accomplished fact for the believer. Jesus speaks of it in the past tense, that the believer has entered into eternal life. And furthermore, Jesus adds, the believer does not even come into the judgment of condemnation because, as we'll see, he has been changed. Jesus says the believer has passed out of death into life. What judgment then could there possibly be for someone who has entered into eternal life in God's spiritual kingdom of righteousness? They've been forgiven of their past sins, their present and future sins, and their nature has been changed to the nature of God, who has no sin. People object, though, and say, well, how can it be that all a person needs to do is to believe to be saved? There has to be something, people say, that we do more than believe in God and his Son. But if something else is needed, what would it be? What would you think could be added to believing in Jesus that would make a person acceptable for eternal life with a holy and righteous God? How about obedience to the Old Covenant Ten Commandments? Would that be enough to make a person suitable for life in God's kingdom? Many people will say that it would. Of course, they say, obedience to his commands makes us eligible for life in his kingdom. But what happens, though, when a person obeys the Ten Commandments? Most of us obey some of the commandments all of our lives. Most of us obey the commandment to not murder. But does our not murdering actually change us? Does it make us godlike persons? The answer is no. The fact that we have not committed a particular sin, that we've not murdered anybody, does not change our nature in any way. And we know that because we still continue to disobey other commandments. I doubt that any of us would claim to have never lied in any way, or to never have taken something that did not actually belong to us, or to have never coveted something that belongs to someone else. And the point is that to be part of God's kingdom requires a total change in a person's spirit and nature, a complete change of mind and heart. God is spirit, and he is eternal. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, which also is eternal. That does not mean that when a person believes and receives the spirit and nature of God, that they no longer commit sins, because the old nature of sin and death still exists within the body. But the old spirit and flesh are dying, and when they passed away with the death of the body, only the life and righteousness of God will remain. For us to enter into eternal life, there has to be a total change take place in our spirit and soul, a change of that non-material life in us called the heart and mind. So what is it then that enables Jesus to say over and over, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life"? Jesus makes two statements to begin with here. The first is that a person must hear his word, and no other word will do. No matter how good it sounds to us, no other word will do. Only the word of Jesus is truth and life. Belief, then, must be based on hearing Jesus' words of truth and believing God who sent him to the earth as the Savior and Lord of all mankind. Believing God who sent Jesus to the earth as the Messiah, as the Rescuer, or as the Redeemer, as Savior and Lord, believing God means believing what he says about Jesus and who Jesus the man truly was and is. Obviously, the change which takes place within the believer has to be a change of spirit and nature. The body, as we know, has not changed. It will still be subject to sin and death. The nature and life force, the spirit of the believer, though, has been transformed. It has been changed like unto that of the man Jesus Christ. Because of the change of the spirit and life God has caused or has brought about in the believer, he has passed out of death into life. How exactly does that change take place within a human being, though? To find the answer to how a person is changed and given eternal life, we have to look to the example or the pattern of the first human being to have eternal life, which is the man Jesus Christ. This is all made clear in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. So let's go there and find out who was this man that we know as Jesus. This is in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Here we go back to the beginning. In the beginning, we're told, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is telling us who Jesus was, that he was always God, but it also tells us that he was not always a man, and we find that in verse 2. He, and he's speaking here of God the Word, not Jesus the man, was in the beginning with God. Jesus was the man, was not in the beginning with God, but God the Word was in the beginning with God, and he was God. The person of God the Word was with God, and he was God, and he was the God who created all that is, including man, as verse 3 tells us. Verse 3, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This is the one of whom it is said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning of the Bible, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. This was God the Word. And in verses 4 and 5 of John chapter 1, we read this. Verse 4, in him, in God the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. God the Word was the creator. And as verses 1 and 2 say, he was with God and he was God. He was also the Lord God of the Old Testament, as John tells us in verse 9 and verses 9 through 13 of chapter 1. We'll skip down to verse 9 now. Verse 9 of John chapter 1. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. We see from this that God the Word had entered the world in the person of the man, Jesus Christ. God the Word came into the world as a humanly born man. Now verse 11. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. All mankind belonged to God, belonged to God the Word as creator. And Judah was Jesus' own tribe in the family of his human descent. But in verse 12 he tells us, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. The way of salvation has been the same since the beginning, which is believing in God and believing in the saving work of Christ his Son. Then in verse 13, he tells us how believers become children of God. And it happens in the exact same way we become children of man, and it is by birth. And this is stated in verse 13. Let me read verse 12 again, and then verse 13. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Born of the will of God. Those who believe in the person of Jesus, who is 100% physical human being, and who is 100% spirit God, as God the Word, are spiritually born anew of God. You know, there's no upgrading of our spirit and soul. It requires a total change to take place by being born again, this time born not of man, but born of God. Then in verse 14, we're told how it came about that God became a man, that God the Word became a man, and it was through the normal process of birth. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 now. And the Word, this is speaking of God the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, this is one of the most important verses in the Bible, telling us that God entered into his creation as the flesh and blood man, Jesus Christ. God the Word became flesh. God the Word was not flesh before. He had existed eternally as God the Word, who was with God and who was God. But now, instead of being God the Word, he became the Son of God and the Son of Man. And he did this through birth, through being begotten of the Spirit God and conceived in and physically born of a woman. And as incredible and as awesome as it is, it's important that we understand what the Apostle John is telling us here, because it explains how believers enter into eternal life as the children of God. God the Word became a man, not merely through changing himself into the form of a man, but by being conceived in the womb of a woman, as we all are conceived, and being physically born as a human child, as we all are born. He was 100% man, being born of a woman, and was 100% spirit God, having been begotten of God. Jesus was, at the same time, born as the physical Son of Man and as the spiritual Son of God. Verse 14 terms him the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He was God in the flesh, being born of woman and of God. God the Word had set aside his power, his wisdom, his knowledge, everything that he had as God the Word. He'd set aside his omnipresence, and essentially everything he was as God, except his eternal life, his righteousness and goodness, to become a physical human being. As a human being, having laid aside all his creative force and power, Jesus was totally reliant on the Holy Spirit. As a man who was also God, Jesus was able to do everything for us that our human nature and spirit was incapable of doing. As a physical man With the nature and spirit of God, Jesus was perfectly obedient to all the Old Covenant law and commands of God. As the only sinless human being to ever exist, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice for all the sin of mankind, and our sins were then placed on him, and he died in our place. The body of Jesus the man died. His body was buried, and then it was resurrected and changed to an eternal body, just as the bodies of all who die in him will be resurrected and changed to bodies like his. The life of God the Word that was in Jesus the man did not die, though. As God in the flesh, Emmanuel, Jesus had eternal spirit life that did not cease with the death of his body. And that's what Jesus tells us in the verses that we read, stating that everyone who believes in him has eternal life like his. They have been totally changed in spirit by being born of God. As Jesus said, they have passed over from death to life. Now we know from the scriptures that the body of Jesus died and was buried. After the appointed time, which was 3 days and three nights, his body was resurrected and changed and reunited with his spirit and life. Those who believe have crossed over, he says, from death into eternal life, just as Jesus had eternal life dwelling in his human physical body while he was on the earth. These bodies will die and await their appointed time of resurrection, which is the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And the body and spirit will then be reunited for all eternity in God's kingdom. First, though, we must cross over from death to life by being changed to be like Jesus. And that means we must hear his word and believe him who sent Jesus to the earth to ransom and save all who would believe in him. Everyone who believes is changed and has eternal life, Jesus says, and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. And people ask, though, they say, well, how and when does the change come about? How are we changed, and when does it take place? As we read earlier in the Gospel of John in the first chapter, beginning in the 11th verse, John tells us about Jesus, and he says that, this is in verse 11, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. Now in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. We know then from Jesus' words that we've read today that it is those who believe in and receive Jesus as Savior and Lord that are changed and who cross over from death to life. In verse 13 then, we're told how believers are changed. He said, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. We all have been born of blood. We've been born of the flesh and by the will of man. We had nothing to do with our being born. It came about by the will of man. Our will had nothing to do with being born of man, and neither can our will cause us to be born of God. It's God's will that brings about the spiritual birth in those who believe in and receive Jesus. It was God's will for God the Word to become the man Jesus Christ. God saves all who believe in his Son through his own works, that is, through the works of God. We contribute nothing to that. We simply believe in and trust him to have done everything needed to save us, because it's God's will. John tells us in chapter 1 in verse 13 that believers are born again of the will of God. And Jesus expands on that then in John chapter 3. And I'm only going to read verses 3 through 6 because of time. But Jesus tells us, beginning in John chapter 3 and verse 6, Jesus answered and said to him, and he's speaking to a man named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of Israel, or a ruler of Judah. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The Jews believed that because they were physically born into God's chosen nation of Israel, that they were entitled to eternal life in God's kingdom. And it's much the same belief that prevails in today's Christianity, that bearing the name Christian entitles one to eternal life. Jesus puts all those wrong notions to rest, though, in verse 3, by saying, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is just a flat statement that no person born of man and woman can enter God's kingdom. It doesn't matter how many commandments a person keeps or how many good deeds he does or what religion or church he belongs to. It doesn't matter even to a person's laying down his life in the name of Christ. The only way to see and enter God's kingdom, Jesus says, is by being born of God. God's kingdom is for his children, and his children come about by birth. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Nicodemus must have been shocked at Jesus' words that a person must be born again, knowing that it would be impossible for one's mother to redo his birth. And Jesus answered in verse 5, and he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus answered Nicodemus by telling him two births were required for a person to enter into God's kingdom. And the first has already occurred to all mankind. We all have been born of a woman and have the flesh and the nature of all mankind. The problem, though, is that the natural person with his inherited sinful spirit and nature cannot enter the righteous and holy spirit kingdom of God. It is the will of God that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is born again of his spirit. And so the person born as a child of man becomes a child of God in the same way as Jesus by being spiritually born of God. You know, this is not a complex or a complicated or a mysterious matter. Rather, it is plain, rational sense. As Jesus tells Nicodemus in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." All mankind born of woman is born of flesh and is flesh. Flesh can never become spirit. And conversely, spirit gives birth only to spirit, which can never become flesh. Jesus, being born of woman and of God, had eternal life dwelling in his physical, perishable human flesh. His body died, and it was resurrected and changed to a spirit body suitable to his eternal life that had not died with his flesh. Please don't take my word for these things. I've quoted the scriptures, and if you miss them, please let me know, and we'll send you a CD or a cassette tape that you can get them from. But read these things for yourselves. Don't read them with the idea in mind that God's word must somehow fit in with our beliefs or with our church's beliefs, because many times they will not. But read and listen to Jesus speaking to you. Jesus says that whoever hears his word and believes God who sent him has eternal life and does not even come into the judgment of condemnation and death, because he's already crossed over from his state of sin and death, from the old state of sin and death, into the righteousness and eternal life of Jesus Christ. We individually have to hear Jesus' word, though, and trust him to save us and to teach us how to live the rest of our time on this earth, not in the old way of man, but in the newness of life of God's own children. I'd meant to look at Jesus' description of what the children of God are like and how they're to conduct themselves during their time here on earth, and I'll try to do that in the next program. But this has been program number 39 in this series on Living in Christ. And again, if you would like a free CD or cassette tape copy of today's program or others, you can call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to us at Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Again, that number is 501-316-0136, or write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. And you also can contact us through our internet website at www.communitychurchofgod.com. Well, we're glad you could be with us today as we examine the most important information anyone can ever have, the way to eternal life. And we hope you can be with us again next week at this same time.